My question about the purple color?
I'll give you a hint. It's answered soon.
Our second reading from the Bible comes from the Acts of the Apostles, Acts 16, verses 9 through 15. You can find it in your pew Bible, and I would recommend that you do so on page 127 of the New Testament. So follow along. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen this vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our next scripture lesson for this morning comes from the book of Revelation. You can find out on page 244 in your New Testament. We will be starting at chapter 21, verse 10. And then we'll jump down to verse 22, and we'll read that through chapter 22, verse 5. Hear these words. In the Spirit, he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light of the lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The word of God for the people of God.
As we've been doing for several weeks of the Sundays of Easter, we'll turn again to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 14, verses 23 through 29. You'll find it in your pew Bible in the New Testament, the second half on page 103. And just a bit of context for you. We are again in the upper room. We know this time as the Last Supper. Jesus is giving what is known in theological circles as the final discourse. This is the last time that he can teach his apostles. So he has lots to say to them. And so let us turn to 14:23. I'm actually going to back up to 22 because it makes a little more sense. Judas, not Iscariot, said to Jesus, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, today, as you all know, is Mother's Day, 2010. And I think it's a wonderful occasion for us to honor our mothers, to celebrate those mothers who are still with us, and to think about those moms who are no longer with us. Every time I think about my own mother, I am moved nearly to tears because I miss her something terrible. One of the difficulties in calling attention in church to mothers or fathers or families is that this can be a difficult topic for some people. It might be tough for you this morning. As much as I would hope that yours was and is a strong Christian home of harmony and peace, I know full well that this may not be the case. It's certainly not always the case in our house. And there are folks for whom the memory of their mother or their father is not a good memory at all. There are probably those among us who have no memory of a mother or father, no memories of any kind. But when you think about this foundational family relationship, you realize that at its core, it is fundamentally a human relationship between people who are, after all, only human. And all human relationships are subject to difficulties and dysfunction. And all human relationships require effort and discipline. But on the positive side, Jesus uses images of mothers and fathers in an attempt to help us understand the pure love of God, to understand the wonderful human relationships that are possible in the model of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as a sacred relationship. God loves each of us with a love that is pure and unblemished and eternal. And God hopes for us the possibility of a strong and resilient family in every worldly family. And this is part of what is explored in the book of Revelation and the chapters that Mark has been reading week after week. This is part of the ideal conditions of the New Jerusalem, this kind of sacred family. And God also recognizes full well that human families come in different packages, different manifestations, if you will, all based upon love and mutual affection. And so today, we honor all mothers, biological mothers, adoptive mothers, foster mothers, cultural mothers, every kind of mother. To them we offer Happy Mother's Day. In this passage from the Gospel of John, we hear Jesus talking to his apostles in the upper room, promising them that even when he is gone, after the resurrection, when he leaves, even then he will provide for their needs in the person of the Holy Spirit. In fact, this is the only place in the entire Bible, and it's the first time and the only time in the Gospel of John that that person is mentioned as the Holy Spirit. It's also known as the Advocate or the Paraclete, whatever you call it, that is part of our Trinity, not something they would have thought about at the time. But this Spirit, this Holy Spirit, is the true presence of Jesus Christ that is with each one of us everywhere and at all times. We always have access to Jesus in the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit provides for you is in many, many ways very similar to what a good mother provides for each of her children. And so I'd ask you to consider four elements of this providence: comfort, challenge, direction, and unconditional love. The first element of a mother's love and the love of the Holy Spirit is comfort. We are offered comfort, like the hospitality showed by Lydia to Paul and his brothers in mission. You are offered comfort, like the peace that Jesus promised to his closest followers and to us. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." I can hear my mom saying those things to me. The second element of this foundational love is challenge. Your mom knows you better probably than nearly anyone else in your life, and your mom was always ready to push you to be better, to reach for your potential, to become the best person that you are capable of becoming. Jesus knows us even better than mom. And so Jesus challenges us as individuals and as the combined body of Christ to become the people we are capable of becoming. The Holy Spirit challenges us to be a true body of disciples, a combined community of missionary people called out to follow Jesus and to serve God's people in every way that we can. The third element of this foundational relationship is direction. A good mom is always on the lookout for that teachable moment, the time when her child is open to her gentle teaching and positive discipline. The Holy Spirit offers us direction 24/7 in the good news of Jesus Christ, the Holy Bible. God's Spirit pushes us to discern God's will and to move us in that holy direction of God's kingdom. As a people of God, we need to seek God's direction through prayer, through study, through fellowship. The final element, and the most important, is unconditional love. Mom loves her baby with a love that is fierce and blind and all-encompassing. And as powerful as that is, a mother's love pales in comparison to the way that God loves you. There is absolutely nothing you can do to keep God from loving you. There's absolutely nothing you can do to earn God's love. That's why it's also called grace. God's love for you in the form of the Holy Spirit can transform your life if you will let it. Mom and the Holy Spirit. Comfort, challenge, direction, and unconditional love. My brothers and sisters, with that support, together, we can change the world. Amen.